Welcome to Crown of Life Baptist Church.
The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care. God gave his son to win. His erring child he reconciled and pardoned from his sin. Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade,
saints and angels song.
Good morning, Central Indiana. You are listening to Pastor Greg DeZula of Crown of Life Baptist Church, now meeting at the Holiday Inn Express in Noblesville. We invite you to join our Sunday morning service at 10 o'clock, preparing hearts to embrace God's Word and desiring His coming kingdom. God is calling sinners to the cross, and He is calling believers to the crown. Enjoy today's program with Pastor Greg DeZula. Be listening to the end of today's program for opportunities on how you can support this radio ministry. Jesus said, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life."
Wishing you an absolutely wonderful resurrection celebration this Sunday. Hope you will make the sacrifice to go to church to reflect upon our Lord and Savior's death, burial, and resurrection. Also, may you have a memorable time getting together with family and friends afterwards. This is what Christianity is all about. Jesus has risen from the grave. He is no longer in the tomb. The tomb is empty. Hallelujah. The Apostle Paul declared in the book of Romans chapter 8, "It is Christ that died, yea, rather that he is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us." Jesus Christ is the promised Messiah that the Jews rejected and the degenerate Gentiles crucified. But death and the grave could not hold him down. He conquered them both by his bodily, visible resurrection to be the author of salvation to all them that believe upon his name, the name above all names. Paul said to the church at Ephesus, "What is the exceeding greatness of his power? To usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ, when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, far above every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. No other false god or religion can make that exalted claim. Their prophets are dead and buried. It's not rude, it's fact. Jesus is the one and only Lord and Savior of heaven and earth. Rejoice today and every day in that wonderful truth. Believe upon him and his glorious resurrection for your eternal salvation. Come to Crown of Life Baptist Church this morning at 10 a.m., meeting now at the Holiday Inn Express, Noblesville, and hear my sermon on the true meaning of Easter versus the resurrection celebration of Christ. Are they not one and the same, you may say? Nay. Come and learn the profound truth about Easter. Not only will I unearth the truth from Scripture, but also from antiquity and mysticism, to uncover that which has been cloaked with lies by the mother of harlots. The following message on the radio waves this exceptionally beautiful Sunday morning is entitled Son or Lord, an Enigma. I preached this from my pulpit several weeks back, but it is just as pertinent this Sunday morning as any Sunday morning. Jesus asked the Pharisees a profound question. How could the Messiah, also called Christ, be the son of David if King David called him Lord? This conundrum is found in Matthew chapter 22, verses 41 through 46. Jesus stumped the religious leaders, but this morning we will learn the glorious answer that the Holy Spirit teaches us out of the word of truth. So, Jesus poses a confounding question, the title, Son or Lord, an enigma, a person or thing that is mysterious, puzzling, difficult to understand. Synonyms of the word enigma are mystery, puzzle, riddle, conundrum, a paradox, problem, question, a quandary. So enigma, we've looked at riddles, we've talked about paradoxes, puzzles, and so you can use various words for that. But in Matthew 22, verse 41, it says, while the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them, saying, what think ye of Christ? What think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? They say unto him, the son of David. He saith unto them, how then doth David in spirit call him Lord? How then doth David in spirit call him Lord, saying, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand, till I make thy enemies thy footstool. If David then called him Lord, how is he his son? And so then it says here, and no man was able to answer him a word, neither durst any man, or darest any man, from that day, ask him any more questions. Because he always had a perfect answer. And all these Pharisees who thought they were the elite, the luminaries, the well-educated, were stumped. And so they did not answer him. And so the enigma states a problem by presenting an enigma. And Jesus wanted to see if they could answer this particular question. So certain facts acutely intensify the problem. Roman numeral 2 in your notes there at the bottom. Without a doubt, Messiah was to be of David's seed. The angel Gabriel sent of God to Mary, told her about that miraculous child in her womb. The scriptures tell us that he said,
that child shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. We see that in Luke. Quoting from the Davidic covenant of the everlasting throne and kingdom promised to David's son. The Davidic covenant, when David was ready to pass on the baton soon to his son Solomon, this promise was given to David. We call it the Davidic covenant. You find it in 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 13. Why don't we just go there? Turn your Bibles there to 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel, Old Testament, verse 7. And this was a promise made to... There are various promises throughout the scriptures that God made to his people. And this is called the Davidic covenant. And we look at verse 13, but we'll start with verse 12. And when thy days be fulfilled, and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, the Lord is talking to David, 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 12, I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. Now remember last week when we talked about how Satan or Lucifer was intertwined with the king of Babylon, and the Lord was talking to the king of Babylon, and then he brought it on to talking about Lucifer in last week's message, because Lucifer, Satan, the devil, was the spiritual head of the king of Babylon. And the spiritual head of all the nations in the world, of all ages, except for those that have embraced Christ. Today, Washington, D.C. is given fully over to the devil, okay, over to Lucifer. So Lucifer's men, Lucifer's angels are in control and the dictates of our nation today. Not at one time, the founding of our country, I believe, but the men were godly. They trusted in the Lord. And but things have changed, and those things have been different. But all the kings, and then we looked at Ezekiel last week, and how in Ezekiel, the Lord was talking to the king of Tyrus or Tyra. The scriptures use the word Tyrus, or the scriptures use the word Tyre. Also then it jumped to talking about Satan and the true ruler behind those kings. And so here we see a similar thing. Here the Lord is talking about in verse 13, 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 13, he's talking about King David's son Solomon. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. And I will be his father, and he shall be my son. If he commit iniquity, I will chasten him with the rod of men and with the stripes of the children of men. But my mercy shall not depart from him, as I took it from Saul, whom I put away before thee. He's talking not only about Solomon in verse 14, but he's also talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. The everlasting throne would be established through the Lord Jesus Christ, his seed. Verse 15, but my mercy shall not depart away from him, as I took it from Saul, whom I put away before thee. And thy house and thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee. Thy throne shall be established forever. And of course, that's talking about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. So Jesus is intertwined in that passage in verse 13. Of course, Solomon will build that a house for my name, talking about the physical house, the temple in Jerusalem, but also speaking of the spiritual house that the Lord Jesus Christ will build for the Lord in his name, and will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. And so we see that in the scriptures, and the Pharisees understood that. Also, John the Baptist's father, Zacharias, at John's birth and filled with the Holy Spirit, prophesied, saying, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people, and hath raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David." We read in Isaiah 11:1, "And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots." Who was Jesse? David's father. Thank you. David's father. And so basically a child will come out of the loins of Jesse. That child ultimately speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that's a prophecy there in Isaiah 11:1. Again, we read in Jeremiah, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king," capital K, "and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth." And we know that the kings that came after Solomon, and even Solomon, he drifted away and became evil and started building temples to the gods of all his wives. How many wives did he have? 700 wives and 300 concubines, and he started building temples. Well, how did he get all those wives? Well, he made peace with all the kings in the known area around Israel, and one of the ways you made peace with, made a covenant with of peace with another nation, another king, was the exchange of the wife, of a daughter. The king would exchange his daughter, give the superior king, which was Solomon, his daughter as a seal of the covenant that of peace that he made with that nation. And so he made peace with all these nations, and he had 700 wives. Can you imagine the house, the building, the mansions, whatever that housed all those women? Can you imagine what it must have been, and then 300 concubines on top of that? And and he was known to be the richest man on the earth. Nobody was richer than Solomon. Not anybody even today, even though we call men billionaires. That's because of the deterioration of the Federal Reserve note has diminished in value. So men who were millionaires 100 years ago today would have been called billionaires because of the devaluation of the dollar. And so you need a lot more dollars in order to be very wealthy. And so we see that in Jeremiah, we see that in Isaiah, these prophecies that the Messiah king will come from the seed of David. Now, here's a big flaw with the Jews who have not embraced Jesus Christ. The unconverted Jews, they don't have those genealogy records. How are they going to prove How are they going to prove that the Messiah that they're waiting on came from the seed of David? They can't prove it. They don't have the genealogy records. All those genealogy records were destroyed at 70 AD when Emperor Titus ravaged the city of Jerusalem, and the Jews were scattered. And so those genealogy records were destroyed. What's interesting, they weren't destroyed in Babylon. When the Israelites went into captivity in Babylon, the genealogy records were not destroyed. They kept them, but they were not able to keep them for 2,000 years. So when the Messiah does come, in their thinking, they're not going to know if he came from the seed of David. They won't have the proof. We have the genealogy records of Jesus, both his mother and stepfather, Joseph. We have proof in the scriptures of their genealogy record and that they are from David. The Pharisees agreed with one consent that Christ was to be of David's seed. So too, a multitude of Israelites who witnessed Jesus heal one possessed of a devil, blind and dumb, said, "Is not this the son of David? Is not this the son of David?" So when they said that, they were saying, could this be the Messiah? Could he be the Messiah? This man be the Messiah? Is not this the son of David? They may have known from his genealogy records who his mother was, Mary, and they assumed his father, Joseph, that they were descendants of David because those records were kept meticulously. And we see that in the Old Testament. You see that in First Chronicles, meticulous genealogy records in the beginning of First Chronicles. You see that in Genesis, the meticulousness of the genealogy records, who descended from who in the book of Genesis. And scattered throughout the Old Testament, it was very, very prevalent, very important to maintain these genealogy records. So the Jews, the multitudes, understood that that was just a known fact as they were taught in the temple and growing up as an Israelite in Israel, know that the Messiah was to be the son of David. So that was an understood. That's why the Pharisees were quick to answer there in Matthew chapter 22. They were quick to answer, say, "Whose son is he?" And they said, "The son of David." Now, King David called Messiah his Lord. Roman numeral 3 in your notes. Roman numeral 3 in your notes. King David called Messiah his Lord. We read in Mark, "For David himself said by the Holy Ghost," Jesus, this is basically the same story that we read in Matthew 22, "The Lord said to my Lord, sit thou on my right hand. The Lord said to my Lord, sit thou on my right hand till I make thy enemies thy footstool." So David said that. We read that in Mark. We also read it in Psalm 110. We read it in 2 Samuel 23:2. So we see it there. "It was neither error nor falsehood nor exaggeration nor self-deception that David called Christ his Lord by the infallible impulse of the Holy Spirit." Let me read that again. "It was neither error nor falsehood nor exaggeration nor self-deception that David called Christ," who was the son of David, "his Lord by the infallible impulse of the Holy Spirit." The scriptures say in 1 Corinthians 12:3, Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. So, if you're a child of God, and you're saved, and when you got saved, it was the Holy Ghost that helped you come to that conclusion that Jesus Christ is the Lord of your life. Jesus Christ is the Lord of your life. That means master. That means rabbi. That means the king of your life. He's the head of your life. So it's the Holy Ghost that moved you to say that. The lordship spoken of by David involved the Godhead from Psalm 110. We read it in Mark 12 and Matthew 22. The lordship spoken of by David involves the Godhead. And it continues, "Sit thou on my right hand." David's Lord, just named, elevated to the throne of deity. The Lord at my right hand shall strike through kings in the day of his wrath. He shall judge among the heathen. David's Lord is the world's final judge. He is God. In that day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. So, he is a king. He is Lord. Here is the enigma. Okay? Here is the enigma. If Christ is from eternity, how can he be David's son? If he is born of David, how can he be the eternal God? Do you hear that question? If Christ is from eternity, God, how can he be David's son? If he is born of David, how can he be the eternal God? The silence of the Pharisees is extraordinarily significant. They were confounded by their unbelief. Only three answers were possible. Since David called Messiah Lord, Messiah could not be his son. Since David called Messiah Lord, Messiah could not be his son. That's answer number one. Three possible answers the Pharisees could have given the Lord. This reply is the overthrow of the word of God, and therefore the overthrow of God. Messiah was to be born in the city of David, according to Micah 5:2, from the stem of Jesse, according to Isaiah 11:1, from the throne, for the throne of David, according to Jeremiah 23:5. The overthrow of God is involved in the overthrow of his law and his prophets. So answer number one would not be correct. It could not be correct. Since David called Messiah Lord, Messiah could not be his son. And we have all throughout the scriptures that Messiah was to be his son.
You have been listening to Pastor Greg DeZula of Crown of Life Baptist Church. Join us every Sunday morning here on Freedom 95 at 7:30 and Sunday service at 10 a.m. Now meeting at the Holiday Inn Express, 13625 Tegeler Drive, Noblesville, where you will hear the hard-hitting truths found in the Word of God, unabashedly proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ and His coming kingdom from the inerrant and infallible King James Bible, the true voice of freedom. If you enjoy this programming and would like to send support, please mail to P.O. Box 47201, Indianapolis, Indiana, 46247-0201. Your financial support is tremendously appreciated. Email Pastor Greg at gdzula@gmail.com. We look forward to hearing from you.